Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Is everybody excited to be in church tonight? Glory to God. God's got good things for us. Amen. We believe that. Praise the Lord. You believe it? Hallelujah. God's got good things for us. Amen. I love the Lord. About a few weeks ago, I was praying and just at home praying. And in my spirit, I heard the words, lighten up. Lighten up. Amen. And, you know, when I heard those words, of course, I take them to heart. You know, whenever the Lord speaks to me, I take it to heart. But, you know, those words have developed more and more in me. You know, how many know that, you can get understanding in the Word, you can read the Word, but there's something different when you get revelation of the Word. You know, there's something, and this is the difference between church that's a spirit church and a church that's not a spirit church, is that a spirit church will learn to get revelation of the Word, amen? The revelation of the Word is when it's open to you, amen? And that's about, if you've never had revelation in the Word, the only way I can explain it is that it's open to you. It's open in a way that you haven't seen it before. It's open in a way that that it becomes very real to you, and God becomes very real to you, amen? But when it's the first time you open the Bible, you're not going to get revelation in the Word. You may get some revelation, but God's intending that we get progressive revelation. God will continue to give us revelation. But the same thing when He speaks to us, amen, He'll speak to us sometimes, and when He shares something with us, sometimes you'll get greater revelation on it. And I'm just going to preach tonight on a portion of the revelation that I've gotten so far, amen. I know that it's not all that I have, praise the Lord, but it's a portion of the revelation that I've gained so far on this particular thing that the Lord spoke to me, and I was praying more about it the other day, and he even gave me some scriptures to go along with it, and this applies to my life, but it applies to your life, glory to God, hallelujah, and it'll apply in many, many ways, praise the Lord, glory. Well, I think I have disappeared my scripture again. We can see if I can shake it and bring it back. Hallelujah. And it's not working. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Fortunately, I did email it or send it to somebody. Today's message is called Lighten Up, God Doesn't Care. Lighten Up, God Doesn't Care. Praise the Lord. I know it's a little bit of a play on words, and it's to be a little bit comical, amen. But the words He spoke to me, oh, it says listen up, but it doesn't, that listen up isn't the word, lighten up, amen. But lighten up, God doesn't care. And what we really mean by this is God doesn't have care. God doesn't carry care, amen. And he's not gonna carry your care. He's told us cast our cares, amen, and that's something that we are to do. But he's not going to keep it on himself, amen. God's not going to sit there worrying about it, amen. So God doesn't care. He doesn't have care. He doesn't walk in care. He doesn't live or abide in care. God has no cares. And as children of God, we're supposed to have no cares either. You know, the devil will try, one of his ways that he tries to bog, or the way that he tries to bog us down is by putting the world upon us, and just like good little birdies, we sit there and we eat it. So many times we open our mouths wide and we just let them pour it out on us. But how many know that God has not intended us to carry care? Amen. I have a trailer at home. Anybody have a trailer? Anybody seen a trailer? Anybody know what a trailer is? Glory to God. I got a trailer at home, and this trailer I got from my brother real cheap. And the reason I got it real cheap is because it had an axle on it that was bent. It wasn't much good to him. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I went out and purchased another axle. Denny helped put it on for us. Praise the Lord. And we used it in the parade last year. But how many know that the reason that it was bent was because he had put too much weight on that trailer? You know, every trailer is rated for a certain amount of weight. If you go down to, Tractor Supply or wherever, you're going to find a bunch of different kinds of trailers. And depending on how much weight, there's different configurations and stuff like that. But this trailer in particular was not meant to carry the weight that my brother put on it. Amen. And as a result, it broke it. Hallelujah. Well, the same thing goes with us. When we take things, when we carry things that we are not meant to carry, we get broken. God did not intend us to be broken. God intends us to be free. But if we won't listen and we overload or we overburden, praise the Lord, then what happens is we're carrying too much weight and we will be burdened. Jesus, and we're going to get into this later, Jesus told us to take his yoke upon him. on us, praise the Lord, because it's easy, light and easy, amen? And we know that it's something that we commonly, we're not unused to, praise the Lord. But it's important to understand these things. God did not mean us to carry care. But if we don't learn to trust God, and that's what this message really is about, if we don't learn to trust God, then we are going to carry all the cares of the world, because that's just what humans do. We have to learn to trust God because the devil is going to keep coming back and keep trying to dump cares on us. Amen. What are we supposed to worry about? Nothing. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. He said, don't worry about what you're going to do, what you're going to have, how you're going to do it. He said, just follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we follow the Holy Ghost, praise God. Hallelujah. Christians are bound by this all the time, because Christians don't listen to the word. And I include myself in this, amen? As we go through life, the trials, the things that weigh us down, they're only weighing us down because we're allowing it to weigh us down. God never intended it to. He's given us a way beyond that. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. So tonight we're going to talk about trusting Him, what it is to truly trust God, amen? When we see those words in scriptures, and honestly, there's so many scriptures I could have gone to here. There's scriptures that I meditate on often that talk about trusting God. Whenever the scripture talks about trusting God, it means to truly trust God, to learn what trusting God really means. As Christians, it is our duty. If there's nothing else, it is our duty to learn what trusting God entails. Amen? Praise the Lord. Trusting God will make you free from something very important, yourself. Hallelujah. I said, trusting God will make you free from yourself. Yourself can pile things on you quicker, even quicker than the devil can sometimes. You know, the devil, sometimes we just make the devil's job easy because we go looking for stuff to pile on us. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. I know that I do it. I know that you do it. Praise the Lord. So we might as well learn not to do it, amen? Let's get to a place where we're not piling up the cares, you know? There's certain people that just want to worry themselves to death, praise the Lord, but we're not going to be those people. We're not going to continue in that path. We're going to learn how to release the worry. We're going to be walking with the things of God because God intended us to walk in freedom, amen? But see, freedom won't happen unless you do the word, unless you start learning what the word says and then start applying it to your life. You cannot get beyond your trial if you're not doing the word. If you're not doing something against it, God isn't going to take your trial from you. He isn't going to take your trouble for you. He said for you to cast it. He isn't looking for you. He isn't going to come by and rewrite His word. He's given us direction. This word is enough. Some people say this word is old. Yes, this word is old, and I thank God that it's old. But one thing that we can know by it being so old is the fact that since it's so old, it doesn't change. It still applies, amen? If it didn't apply, God would have given us another scripture, but God didn't give us another scripture. This one still applies. This one that's 2,000 plus years old, it still works. It still does what it's called to do. It always will do what it's called to do. And sometimes Christians move on in life, and sometimes as Christians get older and have been Christians for a long time, you know, sometimes they start thinking that they know this. They start thinking that they know something. And that's one of the most dangerous things that a Christian can do, is ever think that they really know something. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our goal is always to learn stuff. Amen. But we can't ever get to the place where we know that. You know what I mean? Unless you're doing it. And if you're doing it, then you prove that you know it. Glory to God. You know, it's not, I'm not saying you can't know something. You should know something. Amen. But again, it's progressive revelation, and we're going to learn from God. Amen. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, because it's not my talking that's going to get us helped here. It's the word. Right. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7. Scripture you'll be familiar with. Scripture near and dear to my heart. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7. Praise the Lord. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Praise the Lord. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So then why do people fear? Because they're listening to the wrong spirit. They're not listening to the spirit God has given. They're listening to the spirit that's trying to come upon them. There's a difference, praise the Lord. There's a big difference. I want to read this to you in the Amplified Version. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced and disciplined and self-control. Praise the Lord. Balanced mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the spirit that God has given us. What does this mean? This is the spirit, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. This is the attributes of that spirit. This is what that spirit that's on the inside of us. This is what we need in all situations. Any trial, any problem that's going to arise in your life, you need to tap into this spirit. But the tapping into the spirit is a choice on our part. We decide whether or not we're going to let the spirit of fear conquer us, or if we're going to get into the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And you know, I actually know of a Christian. Praise the Lord. I know of a Christian who walked away from God, and they did because of the attack that they were facing in their lives. They were facing such attack from the devil. But the problem was, is this Christian was never taught to use their authority. We have control over all things in our lives. Why? Because God has given us the authority. He's given us the control. There's nothing that is out of control. We are never to be out of control. I said we are never to be out of control. If a Christian is out of control, it is because he's not taking heed, or she is not taking heed to the word of God. Out of control does not happen in the life of a believer unless they allow it to happen. We control everything. We control our lives. We control our circumstances. We control the things that are around us. When there's an attack on the devil, we decide whether or not we walk in victory or not. How can I say that? Because Jesus said we've already been given the victory. And if he's already given us the victory, then mean that he's not going to take the victory from us. And if he's not going to take the victory from us, that means that we must have a choice whether or not we walk in that victory. Hallelujah. Well, I, for one, want to be one who chooses to walk in victory. I've had enough in my life of the devil tromping all over me and making me, kiss dirt. Praise the Lord. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live in that place where the devil is always on my, you know, and the devil's going to attack. You're not going to stop that. But the difference is does the attack stop you, or does the attack thwart you? Amen? It's not going to me. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep walking out the plan of God. You know, and as I get closer to God, the one thing that God keeps leading me to do is draw closer to him. In everything. Seek him more. You know, we make decisions. We make decisions all the time based on our ideas and our minds. But see, we need to make them from Christ. We need to make them from that place of the Spirit. We need to learn what that means and stop making decisions based on things in the natural that always cause us to fail anyways. If you got into any trouble in life, I can almost guarantee you that trouble was caused by a failure on some human's part. Amen? It almost always is. But how many know that God wants to get us out of the trouble? He's given us the power. The power that's on the inside of us is the same power that created everything. It's the same power that created everything you see, everything you touch, everything you taste, everything you hear, everything you breathe. The same power that created that, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that reached down into hell and pulled Jesus out of hell and raised him up out of hell and sat him at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. That same power resides on the inside of us. We have not been given a spirit of fear. We have been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. A sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that can make decisions. Have you ever gotten all befuddled? Have you ever gotten all messed up and you didn't know what you were going to do? That's not a sound mind. A sound mind knows what it's going to do. Praise the Lord. So Christians, number one, you got to stop confessing all the time that you don't know what you're going to do. You got to start confessing, I got the mind of Christ. I know exactly what I'm going to do. Or if I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, I don't want to lie, but it's coming to me. Hallelujah. It's on its way. Praise the Lord. I know it's coming. Hallelujah. I can't see it. I can't feel it. Can't hear it. But all that doesn't matter because I know it's coming. How do I know it's coming? Because the word reminds me, praise the Lord, of what the Lord said. And the Lord said, it's coming. Hallelujah. He said, you're going to the other side. He said, it's coming. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. We don't have to be timid when it comes to the devil. We don't have to be weak-minded Christians. We don't have to be broken. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be pushed up against the wall. If any of those things happen, the only reason we can stay there is because we choose to. Praise the Lord. I can't pray you out of that place. I can't make you start doing right. I can't make you do what the Word says, but I can encourage you, and that's what I'm doing today. Amen? Praise the Lord. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. I love, again, in the Amplified, it says a well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. I can do this, praise the Lord, because God has enabled me, not by my ability, but by His, by the Spirit that He has placed on the inside of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. He loves us. Amen. Romans 8:12. Let's go ahead and turn there. Praise the Lord. You know, I wasn't completely sure what I was going to preach. And when I get before the Lord, you know, I figure if I get to the day of the message and I don't know by then, praise the Lord, well, I better make sure that I know, amen. And as I get before the Lord, even today, I this morning I had no real idea what I was going to preach on. You know, sometimes I can know weeks in advance. Sometimes I can know many days in advance. Sometimes I have five messages piled up. Sometimes I have five messages piled up. Plan on preaching one, and God has me preach a different one, anyways, amen. But God has me preach what we need, amen. And as I was seeking Him, you know, and I don't necessarily like it in the flesh when I don't know what I'm going to preach. How would you like it if you knew you had to get up and stand in front of people for about an hour or so, and you were going to have to get up there and stand, and you didn't know what you were going to say to them? Amen? Glory to God. Well, that's what God does to me all the time. Praise the Lord. He lets me get up here, and sometimes He doesn't let me know to the last minute. That doesn't mean that I don't spend time studying the Word. It doesn't mean I don't spend time in prayer and doing these things and seeking Him, because sometimes I can seek God for many hours and have nothing. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I can seek God for many days and have nothing specific. But when the time is right, when the time is needed, He will deliver the message. Amen? And that's exactly where this comes from. And that's, you know, I have learned to trust God in that realm. In fact, as a pastor, God has put me in positions many times where I've had to learn how to trust Him. Yeah. I've had to learn how to trust Him. And so I built a certain amount of trust for God. Sometimes it's more than the congregation members have, just because I have to. It's like, seriously, there'll be times where it's just like God just brings you up against the wall. And you gotta, well, what I mean by that is He'll let you come right down to the wire, and you still got it. You got to trust Him. Listen, I don't know how I do all this. I had no idea how to pastor a church. I had no idea how to prepare a message, really. I had no idea how to, you know, I know how to read the Word, glory to God. I know how to hear from Him, learned a little bit, amen. But God will teach us as we go if we trust Him, amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:12, glory to God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. That's really important. This is spoken to Christians. That's how I've been set free. No, you're a debtor. Hallelujah. You owe something. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've been set free from the things in life. Amen. But that doesn't mean you're completely free in the sense that you don't have any obligation. We do have some duty. Amen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. In case you didn't know what being a debtor to the flesh was, it's living according to the flesh. You say, but I live in the flesh. How do I not live according to the flesh? See, this is the difference. This is the deciding factor. Do we make decisions? Do we move through life just guided by our flesh? When our desires show us what to do, and that's what we do, then we are living according to the flesh. And what does it say here? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Ouch! Ouch! If you live according to the flesh, death is coming. It's on its way. It's going to happen. That's why Adam ended up sinning in the garden, and why they ended up losing it for all of humanity. Why? Because he lived according to the flesh. The flesh spoke to him, and he said, yes, flesh, I'll do what you say. Praise the Lord. That's what happened. It happens all the time, every day, and sometimes it happens in church. Amen. It happens all around us. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do we have self-control? We have it by the Spirit. You're not going to have self-control in your flesh. If you rely on your flesh, you will not have self-control. This is why addictions that are tried to be broken in the flesh very rarely are broken. Why? Because they're not broken at all. Amen. The flesh can't defeat the flesh. Amen. But the Spirit can defeat the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, a lot of people, they might get confused and they say, well, how do we do this by the Spirit? How do we live by the Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us that the Word is Spirit. God is Spirit and His Word is Spirit. And so by the Spirit or by the Word and by the Spirit working in us, the Spirit working in us works with the Word and by the Word and confined by the Word. Praise the Lord. When you know the Word, when you start putting the Word in you and you allow that to start changing you, that's when you start living by the Spirit. And then the Spirit can take over. Now, there is greater levels of the Spirit where you can have visions, you can have dreams, you can have God stand before you and talk. You can hear God's voice. Most of these I've had happen. Amen. Does that make me uber spiritual? No, not necessarily. Praise the Lord. Do I spend time in the Word? That's what determines whether or not I'm spiritual. But these things all can happen. They can happen to a believer. But and God necessarily doesn't, it's not that He doesn't want it to happen. God will make it happen and manifest. Praise the Lord. But God will do that with any believer. Some of these things happened to me when I was just a believer going to church, serving, doing the things that you do. I wasn't preaching any messages, amen? Because God's Spirit is real, praise the Lord. But the more that we get in tune with the Spirit, the more that we're able to hear from the Spirit, amen? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, amen? So to be a child of God, to be a son of God, the requirement is that you be led by His Spirit. There are many Christians that don't know what it's like to be led by His Spirit. We just saw my pastor sent me an article, a news article about this guy who was saying that church has to rethink their model. That because the times are changing, praise the Lord, that the church in buildings just doesn't work anymore. And we're going to have to go online with churches. Well, just in a few moments of this dumb article that I was reading, I could name scripture after scripture that calls it out and says it's absolutely foolishness. And see, but what that is that's a Christian thinking in line with the flesh, with the world. Let's do things the way the world. If you just preach this way, you would keep more people. I ain't trying to keep people. I'm trying to preach the truth. Amen? Why? Because it's not keeping people that sets people free. It's when people hear the Word that sets them free. It's when people hear the truth. Some people don't like the truth, and that's okay. They go somewhere else. Praise the Lord. But the truth is what sets people free. People who go somewhere else because the truth is too truthy, praise the Lord, is somebody who is not going to have much victory in life. They're not going to be able to overcome in life. Their lives will be an absolute chaotic wreck. Why? Because that's the way life is without the Spirit of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can't reject the Spirit of God and say that you're still living with God or still living in God's presence or God's grace. No, you're rejecting God. If you reject the hand that feeds you, you're going to starve. Yeah. That's just the way that it is. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Praise the Lord. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we cry out to the Father because we have been adopted into this. This is really interesting. Language here, if you think about it. See, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. We know that. But that doesn't make us any less sons and daughters of God. Amen. In fact, Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, meaning that He was the firstborn into the kingdom of God after living this life of flesh and being resurrected. Praise the Lord. He was the firstborn back into the kingdom of God. We are to follow Him in suit. Amen. This is why it's not crazy to think that we will have the things that happened in Jesus' life happen amongst us, because they're supposed to. But why don't they? Because people don't live according to the Spirit. They live according to the flesh. You can't have a move of the Spirit if you're just focused on the flesh. If you just focus on what, you know, if you're sitting there in church and you're thinking, oh man, what am I going to have for eat? What am I going to have to eat after church? I don't know. I'm just focus on this trial and that trial. No, we got to come focused on the Word and on the Spirit, because if we want the change in our lives, we have to connect to what God's doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself, the Spirit of God is on the inside of us bearing witness. What does this mean? It means He's giving us direction. He's telling us things to do. But the question is, are we listening to what He's saying to do? See, the problem is, and this is where the idea of lighten up, at least part of it, I know it come from, is because we come up with so many plans in our lives. I have so many ideas of things I want to do. Do y'all? Praise the Lord. I do. My wife calls me, she says I'm an ideator. Praise the Lord. What's that? It's a real word. She guarantees it. Hallelujah. She guarantees it. I'm an ideator. I come up with ideas. And so I think of things all the time. Oh, wouldn't it be great to do this? No, wouldn't it be great to... In fact, my wife has gotten used to it. I come to her and I got this great new idea. And she knows, praise the Lord, that if it's God, it'll stick. And if it's not, I'm just blowing smoke again. But she always just kind of smiles and lets me have my smoke-blowing session. Amen? She likes. She lets me vent my excitement, praise the Lord, and she's not surprised when 2 days later completely changed my mind. Amen? Why? Because that's what happens. Some things don't land. Amen? Some birds don't land. And this one, sometimes they don't land. And that's okay when they don't. I'm not called to do everything that my mind can think of. Praise the Lord. You're not called to do everything your mind can think of. Amen? I have come up with business ideas. Enough business ideas for probably 1,000 different businessmen. Glory to God. And they all work. How do you know, Pastor Jeff? Because I've seen them work in my mind. I just know that they were. I know it's the best thing since sliced bread. I just know it's the next greatest thing. Hallelujah. It's the thing that'll make you rich. It's the thing that's going to get you through. Oh, everybody's going to want to be part of this business. Praise the Lord. I've got idea after idea after idea. Praise the Lord. I'll sell you one. In case you want to buy one. You need an idea? Just come to me. I'll sell you some ideas. Hallelujah. But see, here's the thing. Not all ideas are for us to accomplish. I can't do everything I want to do in this life. I can't see every single thing I want to see and do every single thing that I want to do and still follow the calling of God. And so what the Lord has been dealing with me on, and I'm sure that this applies to you too, is to seek those ideas less and seek Him for the direction more. And as I seek Him for the direction, I will still get good ideas. And some of those ideas I will do. And some of those ideas that I do, all those ones that I follow Him on, they will land. But I will have the direction, I'll have the know-how, I'll have the peace, I'll have the ability, I'll have the supply. See, when God has called us to it, He's given us a way to get through it. He's given us a way to get to it. So if He's called you to something, it doesn't matter if you can't, because you don't need to. The Creator of everything has given you the direction, so He's also given you the ability to do that. But this is where Christians get all messed up, is because they're not following the Spirit of God, they're following the spirit of the world. They're following their own ideas, their own desires. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not coming down on our desires and saying, oh, you shouldn't desire anything, you're a bad person because you have desires. None of that stuff. God has put that creative ability on the inside of us so that when He gives us something, we can see it. Amen. But sometimes our mind just runs with what it wants to run with, and it gets us into trouble. Amen. Any trouble I've ever gotten to, it's because my mind took me there. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. And any trouble you've ever gotten to was because your mind took you there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him. That doesn't sound fun. If indeed we suffer with Him, we get to be an heir. Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, we'll get there. That we may also be glorified together. Oh, that part sounds good. I'll be glorified. I want to suffer, but I'll be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The spirit that is on the inside of us, it will cause us, sometimes it will bring us in that place. And the sufferings of Christ, we have to understand what these are. This does not mean that you're going to be sick. It doesn't mean that you're going to be broken and defeated. What the sufferings of Christ are, literally, it's when the world rails against you. That's most of what it is. When there's opposition because you're in the plan of God. Those things will be there. We are called to deal with the level of those. But it's okay because God's also told us that we already have the victory over it. So even though the world's going to rail, it doesn't feel good. Listen, sometimes as a Christian that's following God, I'm just telling you, people don't like me. I'm just telling you, you can ask my son Mark over here. There's people that have told him that we're in a cult. Well, praise the Lord. Never heard of a cult where you're allowed to freely go and come as you want. Praise the Lord. But we're in a cult, apparently. There's people that think we're in a cult. There's people that think that we're doing these, you know, why? Because we preach things that not everybody likes to hear. We preach things that are pretty extreme sometimes. What is that? Well, we take the blame off of God and we put it on the individual. Yes. Yeah. People have a problem with that, but that's the problem with this world. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. When everybody's problem is everybody else's fault, well, then nobody's going to get helped. But when you can look at your problem and say, you know what, I had something to do with that, but bless God, he's going to get me out of it, you're going to get out on the other side of it. Now, I'm not saying that you have to sit there being condemned and convicted. That's not what we're saying. We're not putting condemnation on people, but we are telling you that sometimes the things you do get you in your trouble. In fact, all of your trouble is probably mostly caused by yourself. In fact, I have more times when I look at a person's problems, there's more times where I see them in it than I see even the devil in it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Right. I'm not saying that the devil is not trying to influence people. He is. But the devil doesn't have complete control over you if you're not possessed. And most of you aren't possessed. Hallelujah. In fact, I don't think anybody in here is possessed. But you understand what I'm saying, that the devil can't control you. A Christian cannot be possessed. If you're born again, you cannot be possessed of the devil. I said you can't be possessed of the devil. You can be obsessed. You can be oppressed, but you're not going to be possessed. Amen? Glory to God. What's the difference? Well, possession is when you have no choice. There are certain people that are in public office, even today, who are possessed. Yes, possessed of the devil means that they are just operating according to the devil. They have no choice because they've completely given their life over to the devil. Amen? It's the truth, amen? Where do you think, I'm just going to tell you the truth, that there's strong demonic influence when you can take a baby at any stage and kill it as brutally as they do. And it's brutal. If you want to know, just ask us. We'll send you a video that tells all about exactly how they do it, just in case you didn't know. So if you're on that side of things, well, praise the Lord. You wouldn't be very, very long after you see this stuff. But even more so, now they're saying that they can take a baby that's outside the womb that they tried to kill and failed to kill, and now they can lay this baby on the table and they can let it die. This is what they're trying to do. These are the kinds of, this is happening in our society. That's the devil all over it. Praise the Lord, it's the devil, I'm just telling you. And our state is trying to lead that garbage. Well, Pastor Jeff, that's why we pray for our leaders. That's why we pray for, sometimes you hear me pray for Governor Cuomo. I'm not praying for him because I like what he's doing. Glory to God. Just because I pray for somebody doesn't mean I like what they're doing. I love the man as far as being another human and stuff like that. But I'm just telling you, there's some evil stuff coming out of Albany, folks. And we got to watch that stuff. We can't be okay with it. Certain people are okay with it, but not us. And definitely no Christian should be. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are joint heirs with Christ. We have the same access to God that Jesus did. Amen? This is why Jesus was so effective on earth, because he followed the Spirit. He knew the Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. Now, I want to bring up something here. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." Do not believe every spirit. Now, again, we say spirit, and sometimes people might get a little bit confused here. But what do we read in there in 2 Timothy? We read, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Right. Test the spirits. When you start having a thought, you're supposed to test what spirit they're of. Where is it coming from? Well, if it's fear, it's not a spirit of God. You can tell, you know that. The Bible tells us that the fear is actually a spirit. What is a spirit? It's an entity. It's like another, we talk about angels. Angels are out there. They're doing things. There's angels in here right now. You can't see them, but they're here. There's angels in here right now, but there's also demons in here. There's spirits in here. There are evil spirits in here waiting to talk to people's minds, to try to get them to convince them things. It isn't to scare you. It's just to tell you the truth. Amen. There's a lot. Now, I'm not trying to get hokey and goofy and all that stuff. We're not supposed to be overly spirit conscious. We're not like looking for the boogeyman in every corner. You know what I mean? Some people do that too, but that's not what we're doing. But we have to recognize spiritual attack. We have to recognize that everything that enters our head is not us. It is not yours unless you accept it. But once you accept it, it becomes yours. Every thought that you have is not your thought. A lot of thoughts are your thoughts. But do you ever have a thought? You're like, man, dear Lord, where'd that come from? That's not your thought. That's a spirit. Amen. And if it's fear, it's not from you. It's not from God. It's from the devil. And it's a spirit. Beloved, test the spirits. insane. When I have a thought that is going to derail my life, when I have a thought that is going to completely change everything I'm doing, I better test that thought. I better test that spirit and see what manner it's from. Is this a spirit of God or not? Amen. Does what this thought is coming to me, does this thought line up with the word of God? This is where people get in trouble because they don't do this. They just take a thought and run, well, it must be my thought because I'm having it. You ever, you think it's, you don't even think that it's your thought. You just automatically take ownership of it. Yeah. You have a thought come to you and you just get mad. Yeah. Where does that come from? That's not a spirit of God. No. Spirit of God doesn't look at your wife or your husband and say, oh, they're not doing right. That's not the spirit of God. Yeah. That's a spirit from the devil. Yes, absolutely. You got to test those spirits. Why do people get in fights? Because they listen to the wrong spirit. If you listen to love, if you listen to spirit of love, if you listen to spirit of God, you aren't going to fight with people. I'm just telling you the truth. You will fight with nobody. Why? Because Jesus didn't. He didn't argue and fight with people. Oh, I mean, he told people the truth. But even when they accused him of wrong things, he didn't have to sit there and justify his position. The Bible says he didn't even open his mouth and answer a word. Praise the Lord. He didn't even answer. They were railing against him. They were accusing him of all kinds of lies and everything. He put it in the hands of God. You know what I mean? The Bible tells us that in the book of Jude, it tells us when the archangel Michael was arguing with the devil or was contending with the devil over Moses' body. The devil, for some reason, wanted Moses' body. Doesn't make any sense, right? Why would it? But he did. It tells us when he did it. He said he did not even dare accuse him. He simply said, the Lord rebuke you. We don't have to get in a discussion with the devil. Just rebuke him. We don't have to get in a discussion with the thought. We don't have to take a thought and run with it. Praise the Lord. And every bad thought we have, God, dear God, if we took every thought and took it through fruition. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at our thoughts and say, is this of God? Is this leading me closer to him or is it taking me further away from him? You know, if there'll be thoughts to you many, many times. There'll be thoughts to you, I've got to leave my church. Do you think that's of God? You think God is leading some people into a church and some people out of the church? Ain't doing it. Praise the Lord. I said he's not doing it. God wants everybody to be fed. He wants everybody to get his word. But if you start having those thoughts, what you do with it is up to you. Do you know how many times in my life that the devil has told me to leave my church? Oh my gosh. You know how many times in my life, even this year, you know how many times this year the devil has tried to tell me to leave my pastor? I'm a pastor. I preach to you against this stuff. And still the devil. But I don't take heed to those thoughts. I don't take those thoughts and say, okay, I'm going to do that. No, I know it's stupid. Because I know the minute I do, then the devil's got me in a corner. I'm like a sheep without a shepherd, and I'm lost, broken, scattered. That's exactly what happens. When the devil tries to draw us away, if we follow that plan, see, that's what I mean. We have to follow thoughts through to fruition. What does this do? What is this offense? I preached about offense recently. What is this offense causing me? You can have offense against anybody, your spouse, another person in the church. What is this going to do? Well, why would we get offended at brothers and sisters we're supposed to love? Why would we get offended at them? So they say something stupid, big deal, big whoop. Everybody says something stupid. You didn't say anything dumb? Yeah. Like, listen, I am the king of saying stupid things. You know what that does? That puts me up there right at the top of the list of people who cannot judge other people for saying stupid things. Why? Because I continually say them. Amen. Glory to God, and I know you do too, amen. You're right up there at the top of the list with me. I know, I saw you there, amen. I saw the list, and your name was up there. Glory to God. We all say dumb things. You know what I mean? What are we going to live? Are we going to live this life? Are we going to live this life where we're constantly miserable? I mean, you've got a spouse with you. You live with your spouse. Oh, my gosh. God's given you a wonderful husband, a wonderful wife. Praise the Lord. And are you going to sit there, really? You want to sit there and tear it apart? You want to sit there and tear each other apart and argue with each other and just get mad at each other and get disgusted with each other? What good is that going to do? It's not going to help you. The Bible says that your prayers won't even get answered if that's the case. Yeah, you can't even pray. I'll tell you what, you'll start repenting real quick if somebody gets sick or there somebody, death is approaching or something like that. You'll change your tune real quick if you realize that, amen? You realize if everything you've been praying can be negated because you won't get into agreement with your spouse. Praise the Lord. That's why my wife and I, we always strive for peace. Do we always get along? Not every single second of every single day. Praise the Lord. But sometimes she's just plain mean to me. I'm telling you the truth. Glory to God. But here's the truth. I got to be okay with that sometimes. Sometimes I got to let her be mean. No, I'm just kidding. She's, but more times than not, it's me. Every once in a while, maybe her a little bit. But most of the time, it's probably me. But you know what I'm saying? We can't live in that place, and we don't live in that place. Why do we have a good life? Because everything's perfect? No, not because everything's perfect. But because we always go back to that place. We always go back to the Word. We test the spirits. We don't let every thought come in. We don't let every spirit that tries to knock on our door. We don't let them in and say, here you go. Have free reign.
Right.
You know what I mean? The devil comes in with it's like a devil comes up to your house with a manure truck, and you open the front door and let him dump it on your living room floor. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. These bad thoughts that you're, you know what I mean? When I was back in my party days, when I was partying, when I was doing all the different things that you shouldn't be doing, all these things started with a thought.
Yeah.
Maybe it was an offer, but then it started with a thought. I remember there was a time in my life I said I would never touch drugs. And then I found myself touching them all the time. That's all that, just left and right all the time. I found myself, never thinking that I would do some of these vile things that I've done, but I did them. Why did I do them? Started with a thought and I ran with the thought. When we run with thoughts, praise the Lord, then the outcome, the things that we don't want to happen, they come.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it is. So we got to be people that decide, are we going to allow these spirits? Are we going to allow this? You know, and sometimes we can speak of things as like the spirit of something, not necessarily talking about it like an entity, like a ghost or a goblin or something like that, but like the spirit of something, you know what I mean? Sometimes people have a spirit of Antichrist on them. There's a lot of people in government today that have a spirit of Antichrist. What are they trying to do? Well, you look at what the Antichrist does in the end times. The Bible says very clear what is going to happen in the end times. You would be shocked if you didn't know. You'd be shocked to see the things that the Bible says are going to happen in the end times. And then you look at what's happening today and you'd be like, oh my gosh. Because here's what you got to remember. This was written 2,000 years ago. It was written in a time. They never thought this stuff was even possible, some of the stuff that's happening. But it's happening. Amen. One of the things that the Antichrist will do is usher in a one world government. What do you see a lot of people try? Well, we got to break down borders. We just got to have one world government, one currency. See, this happened in, that's another thing the Antichrist does, is he ushers in a one world currency. What happened with the European Union? Have you ever heard of the euro? Well, we're just going to get rid of all of our money. We'll all have the same money. That's the beginning of it. It's the spirit of Antichrist. So we see that the spirit of something, you say somebody has the spirit of Christmas. What do you think about with someone with the spirit of Christmas? They're in a giving mood. They're joyful and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it's the same kind of thing. So it goes beyond that. This is specifically talking about spirits. But the spirit of something matters as well.
Yeah.
Amen? Praise the Lord. We have to test do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean you have to walk through life. Oh my gosh, is this a bad spirit? Is this a bad spirit? No, because if you follow God enough, if you you do the things that God has told you to do, you come to church, you read the word, you pray, these things, you seek after God, it's not going to be a hard thing, because what's going to happen is something will come up and you'll just be like, you'll know that there's something wrong with that. You know, it's like taking a shower with your socks on. You know something's off. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel, something doesn't feel quite right. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, something's off a little bit. It's like having one thing I love about clothes is like a t-shirt. If you put on a t-shirt backwards, you know it instantly, right? You know it instantly. There's not even a question about it. You know exactly that something's off. And the same thing is in the spirit, if you follow God, something will be off. But see, listen, if you ignore that, then it'll disappear. It'll stop. It'll start feeling comfortable. You don't want your t-shirt on backwards all the time. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 16. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'll read this to you in the Amplified Version. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Praise the Lord. We don't be wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. But that's the question, is it? See, this is talking about people who are following God, following the plan of God, people who are seeking His counsel and not just seeking what they want to do. It's dangerous when we just seek what we want to do. Amen? What you want to do won't always be what God wants you to do. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Everybody who disagrees with the word that's being preached or people that don't walk in this is because they aren't in agreement with the word of God. They aren't following the things that God... I'm not saying everything that I say, you know, specifically, but when we're preaching the word and we're saying this is what the Bible does and people think that it's just a suggestion, when they do that, what they're doing is they're rejecting this very knowledge. They're not being renewed. And so we understand that our outward man is perishing, but our inward man needs to be renewed. Because if it's not, you know, eventually our body will die. We can't stop that here. And thank God that we can't, because it would be a lot worse if we had to live in this mess forever. I'm just telling you the truth. But we need to be renewed in our spirit. We can still have vitality. We can still have that life from the inside out. Amen. Look at what it says here, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. When Paul was talking about this, he was going through such horrible things. He had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten and beaten and beaten. All these things. And yet he's talking about his light affliction. His light affliction. This is what he was saying. We will go through things in life sometimes that are afflictions. But Paul is saying that they're light afflictions compared to what's going on, amen? Compared to the exceeding eternal weight of glory, amen? Glory is God's magnificence. What's happening in us, God is doing great things in us. He desires to do great things in us. But He can't do them if we're rejecting Him, if we're pushing Him away, if we're pushing those things out, or if we're caught up in the trial and the things that are going on around us. Look at this, verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. This is why we look to the things, you know, people don't, people's trial in life, the things that they struggle with, It's always in this realm of things, amen? It's always in the realm of, this is all they can see. They can't visualize anything more, and they can't see any further, amen? If you could see into the future, if you could see what's literally going on, if you could see what matters, what your faithfulness, or how your faithfulness matters, rather, if you could see how it matters, you would look at life a lot differently. Why do we do the things we do? Because we've seen how it matters. We know that there's people every single day that are dying and going to hell because they haven't had the word preached to them. They haven't had the ability for the change yet. God does it through us. Why do some people go to hell? Because some people aren't reached. That's as simple as it is. God has intended every man, woman, and child to go to hell or to heaven. Praise the Lord. But it is not His decision to send somebody to send somebody to hell. He's not sending people to hell. They're going there on their own accord because they don't know any better. People are foolish to think that, you know, we talk about, there's a lot of things in Christendom. One of the big things, and I've seen this recently, Christians talking about, being casual about things like drinking and stuff like that. You know, alcohol is this huge thing. It's like this huge thing in the body of Christ. People are loving. Now, again, if there's people that struggle with it, you know, there's a difference. But I'm talking about people who are just casually being out there casual about it. Listen, the Bible says that sends people to hell. Drunkenness sends people to hell. And so they're towing that line, and they don't even realize it. People don't realize the weight of not being faithful to what the plan of God in their lives. It's sending people to hell. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We don't want that to happen. I'm not saying praise the Lord because people are going to hell. I'm saying praise the Lord that He is good, that He's trying to stop it. But He does that through people. Yeah. Amen? And again, we talk about people struggling with things. These things ought not be so, but that's not entirely people's fault, because there's churches that aren't, they're not preaching against this stuff. They're not hammering it. They're not coming down and saying, you know what, this is not right. There's churches that won't stand up to sin anymore because it's not the popular thing to do. Oh, you're preaching too bold. If I'm telling you something you don't like, there's a reason you don't like it. It's because you're trying to follow the devil right to hell. Right. It's the truth. There's that thing in you, that flesh that is just calling out for death. It's going after death. The reason that we say things that we say is because we love and we care about people, and it stops people from going to hell. There are going to be people who thought that they were Christians, that thought that they were saved. There's going to be people like that burning in hell forever because they didn't take the time to really learn it for themselves. The Bible says that there's a change that needs to happen in people, but people aren't changing anymore. There's no change in the world. There's no change in lives. There's Christians that are going out there and they live just like the devil lives. They're living just like the world lives, and they wonder why they wonder why that people don't see any distinction when the church of God looks more like the devil sometimes than the devil's people. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. God is good. He wants to stop this, but he stops it through the word. It's how we think about it. It's how we take it in. It's do we take this thing seriously? We don't just come to church as our religious duty. We come to church because it's where we connect to the plan of God. You cannot connect to the plan of God aside from the local church. You cannot connect to the plan of God aside from a pastor. You cannot connect to the plan of God aside from other Christians. You might not like the ones next to you, but guess what? There's the ones God hooked you up with. So you better learn how to like them. Praise the Lord, because they're who you connected with. They're who the plan of God is. But see, everybody wants the answers. They want the blessing. They come into church, and I want to give it to them. I want to help people, but I always tell people the same thing. If you don't connect to what God's doing, I can't help you. That's why we don't do these programs a lot of churches do. Why? Because they're ineffective. They don't do anything. I can feed somebody for a day, but that doesn't mean anything if they go out there and they just, their lives never change. The only thing that matters is if people come in here and I preach the word and their lives change because they heard the word and they start putting the word to practice in their lives, and then they see a change, they see a difference. And I'm not saying people have to get perfect overnight, because you don't. God is helping people. He wants to help people. And the work, this work, our desire, our greatest desire is to help people. Praise the Lord. But there's so many that are just in it for themselves. That's just the truth. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter. It's about mindset. And this is the thing, you know, you say, Pastor, the message was called Lighten Up. Well, I want to tell you what that means, though. I want to tell you what that's about. Lightening up is in your thinking. It's in the things that you put on yourself. The demands, the ideas, 1 Peter 5 is where we're going. Lightening up is considering the things. You know, I've been considering things in my life just in this past week as I've been meditating on this. I've been considering things in my own life, and I'm like, is this just bogging me down, or is this something that's actually good? Wow. I mean, everything. I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at the rooms in my house. I'm like, do I need this? Is this part of the plan? You understand, God's okay with us having more than what we need. Yeah. You understand that. God's okay with you having something really, really nice. Yeah. Okay? God blesses me. He does. He blesses me with really nice things. But my thing is I want to make sure that there's nothing that's holding me back. I want to lighten the load, because I want to run with God as fast as I can. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. If it means me putting down a hobby or something I want so I can run harder, then that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God always makes it up to us. And I want to be careful, because I don't ever want people to think we are not preaching a message where God doesn't want you blessed in full, and because he does. I preach this all the time, and I'll tell you, if there's something that means something to you, it means something to God. God cares what car you drive. I know, because he told me. He told me. He specifically told me. And you can't ever take that from me. There's a lot of people that argue with that, that would argue that with me. I don't care. God didn't tell them, maybe. Praise the Lord. But he told me. I don't need him to tell you to let me know that it's good or that it's God. He told me that it's nice. He said, it's a good thing that my people drive nice cars. It's a good thing that God's people don't live in poverty. It's a good thing that God's people live in nice houses. It's a good thing when people look at that, when the people out there look at you and say, why are you so blessed? Because I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. By God, as much as it's up to me, my children will never walk without anything. There's no, they'll never go without anything in their life as much as it's up to me. And if I feel that way, I'm just telling you that God is so much greater than I am. He's so much better than I am. Praise the Lord. There is nothing wrong with having nice things. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is do the things that consume my mind, the things that consume my time, are these things that draw me away from the plan of God. I want what God wants. Praise the Lord. If God just dropped something right in front of me, if he dropped a big old airplane or something, something real fancy right in front of me, something that I couldn't afford on my own, and said, this is for you, well, praise God, I wouldn't argue with it. Amen? And he could. I'm not saying that he won't. And I'm not judging my walk by someone else's walk or someone else's walk by my walk, because he might let you have something he won't let me have. And he might let me have something that he won't let you have. But just know, make it up to all of us, praise the Lord, because God does care about the state of things that we have. He wants us to be blessed, but he doesn't want us to, actually Jesus told Brother Hagin this. He said, I'm not opposed to my people being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. Yeah. What's covetous? It's where that's what your goal is. That's where your everything that you're after. Praise the Lord. Yeah. God will bless us as we go because he's a good God. Yeah. Amen. But this is why we have to learn. We have to learn to shift our thinking off of just us or our thoughts. And we have to get out of that carnal thinking and that fleshly thinking. And we have to start learning to think God's thoughts. We have to seek the Lord and say, Lord, help me to think more in line with the way you think. That's where the peace and joy is. It is not thinking the way you always think. See, what we do this over and over and over again. We all do this to a degree. But we come up with these ideas and we present them before God. And we say, now, Lord, bless this. And we say this in many different ways. You know what I mean? I know this. I praise the Lord. I know this. I've not somebody in this church, but somebody in other churches, I've counseled on things before. You know, there's people that come to me that's like, God wants us to have 15 children. Well, praise Lord, he might want you to have 15 children. But if he really wants you to have 15 children, he's going to provide for them. See, people make this, the people sometimes in the faith camp, they'll make this mistake. They'll like, I'm going to go pump out kids, and then we're going to, listen, you also have to consider what you can afford. You have to consider where you live. You have to consider, because if you have 15 kids, well, all of a sudden, your two-door sports car isn't going to carry them anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so if a two-door sports car is very to you, you got to consider these things as you're moving forward with God. My wife and I have said this all the time. You know, there's a lot of people at a time that gave us flack because my wife still worked. Well, the reason that we can afford a lot of things that we can afford is because my wife works. Praise the Lord. Because it's certainly not my paycheck that's doing it. And I'm not saying that to be or to say, oh, feel bad for me. But that's the truth of the matter. We are not getting rich off of pastoring a church. We're not getting rich. We're getting even less rich off of pastoring two churches. Praise the Lord. But God still takes care of us. What has he done? He's given my wife a decent paying job. He's taught us how to budget. And because of all these things, because we do the stewardship things, we can have things that we couldn't have before. Amen. I'll tell you this, I almost every single time I've ever dealt with somebody who's dealing with poverty, the problem almost every single time has little or nothing to do, almost every single time, has little or nothing to do with not enough coming in, but just spending it the wrong way. It's the truth. Stewardship. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. A lot of people, and we were in this problem at one time, we were in problems with our finances because we didn't know how to budget. We didn't know how to do these things. Praise the Lord. You cannot not budget and then expect God to bless it. I'm just telling you the truth because you're not being a good steward. If you don't know what you got coming in and you don't know what you got going out, God ain't giving you more. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. He ain't going to bless you with more because you're not being a good steward of that which you have. You have to, and listen, you don't have to just get on our budget, you don't understand, but there's things that there's practical things we can do. But my point in saying all this is that people try to do things all the time out of this idea that they're walking in faith, but they're not walking in faith at all because they haven't sought God for his plan. I know of somebody who actually prayed, actually sought the Lord. And the Lord showed this person what it would be like if they had this many kids and what it would be like if they had this many kids. I would, naturally speaking, I'd love to have 20 kids in our house. Well, maybe not in our house, but you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to have, every time I want to adopt, you know what I mean? I'm the one that bring puppies home. I bring adoptable kids home. You know what I'm saying? I just, that's what I want. My wife she's put me in check on that, praise the Lord, because she reminds me of something. You know, there's things that we can't do because we don't have the ability. I can't pastor two churches and travel and do all these other things, not travel just for fun, but travel for ministry or anything else, and still be able to take care of all these other things. So it would be left to her. Well, she can't work three jobs and take care of 15 kids, too. You can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So there's practical aspects. God does not work aside from natural knowledge or aside from natural. I don't know why I'm on all this, but because it definitely wasn't planned or prepared. But God, well, it's because I was talking about people having their own ideas and they're saying God bless them. You know what I mean? They're like, I recently I was talking to somebody and they were like, somebody who was, who the couple had gotten pregnant. And I said, so you were planning on having a child? And they're like, no, we just decided that we would just, you know, just do things and see what happened. Leave it in God's hands. I said, so you were planning on having a child? And they looked at me cross and I was like, you know how children are made, right? You know how it happens. And like, yeah, well, if you know how it happens and you do that thing that makes it happen, you probably are going to have the outcome of a child. I mean, it's not a matter of God blessing it, because God doesn't work that way. It's just like I've always said, you know, people say, like, oh, birth is such a miracle. It's not a miracle. It's a natural process. God just, it's exciting and cool and all that stuff. It's amazing, but it's still not a miracle, because a miracle is something that's supernatural. That's very natural. Even people that are complete heathens can have kids, right? I mean, it's just the truth. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:6. I had to think about where I was here for a second, because I kind of went off in a different area there. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yeah. Praise God. Humble yourself. I want to go back up to verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Praise the Lord. Now, I have this written in my Bible because it's very important. This is why I wanted to bring it to you. God resists the proud, but gives grace, which is God's ability. God's ability that we don't have. So he gives God's ability to the humble. The humble is really those who are submitted to God's plan. If you are actually fully submitted to God's plan, God's ability is there. But if you're not submitted to God's plan, there is no ability for you from God. You will try. This is why so many Christians just struggle through life, because they've never actually even sought God for his plan. How can you submit to God's plan if you don't even know what it is? How do you know what God's plan is for your life? I go, especially my oldest son, all the time. Why do I do this? Because I'm a good father. I go to him all the time. You know, what's your direction? We just went for a ride the other night, and I said to him, what's your direction? Do you know where you're going? Do you have a goal? Do you have something set out? Do you have a plan? Is there something before you? If there's not, then there's a problem. Every Christian needs to know where they're going. Yeah. The Bible says that we walk in the light, not the darkness. Darkness is when you can't see. Light is when you can see. You need the light of God's word. You need the light of God's plan. You need to know where you're going. You have to have an end goal in sight, or you'll never get there. You know, I love what Brother Hagin said. He went around to people praying. He had a group of people praying in a church, and he went around to them, and he said, what are you praying for? And they said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, if you don't know what you're praying for, then how do you know when you get it? I said, well, maybe I'm just fellowshipping with God. Well, that's good, but you need to know that that's what you're doing, so you know that's what's happening. Yeah. Listen, we have to be people of purpose. We have to be going after things. We need to have a plan. Listen, the Father does not have a plan for us, put his Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and then hide the plan so we can never find it. No, he's put the plan. He's intended for us to get into the plan. In fact, it is a travesty if we don't get in the plan. Can you imagine? I remember, talking to several different Christians. This was several different, maybe two couple stories combined. But talking to several different Christians, and they built businesses, and they were doing well. They were good business, and praise the Lord for that. But they had no direction. They just said this was their life. This was their plan. They went to church on Sunday or whatever, and they just went and did their business the rest of the week, built this business. Well, that's not any way to live. I mean, because what are you going to do if there's a downturn in the business? What are you going to do if all of a sudden, because God has moved things out from underneath me quicker than, I thought I was going to live in Jamestown for a long time. I didn't want to, but I thought I was going to. Well, praise the Lord. God moved that. I thought I was going to build a house down there. God changed that. Why? Because it wasn't in his plan. I'm okay with it not being his plan. I was not. We had no intention of buying the house that we were. We weren't even looking where it was or how. You know what I mean? But it was part of God's plan. God will place you and he'll supply you where he's placed you. Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, if people aren't submitted to God's plan, they'll never know. We have to go in our minds as we're thinking, you know, test the spirits. Is this God leading me? Is this the plan of God taking me into all that he... Oh, man, glory. I got to hurry here. Therefore, humble your... Don't tell me. Mm-hmm. I'll go as fast as I want to go. You, praise the Lord. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I love this in the Amplified version. Do I have it here? Oh, I'll get there in a minute. Oh, praise the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I love this. I have so much written today. I wrote so much down today, but I can't share it all with you about your care. Notice it says, cast all your care upon him. Isn't his care given to you? He says, cast your care upon him. Why? He's going to get rid of it. But see, this is the thing. When you give somebody something, you can't take it back. If you come give me $10, praise the Lord, not telling you to, but if you gave me $10, you don't have any right to come up to me 5 minutes later and say, I'll give me that $10 back. Right. No, why? Because it's not your $10 anymore, it's mine. You understand what I'm saying? Well, the same thing with our care. If we cast it on God, why are we trying to take it back? Right. You keep trying to, you are literally trying to steal something that's trying to poison you. Yeah. That's exactly what you're doing. It's not yours anymore if you've cast it. But if you haven't cast it, it's still yours. Yes. Cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Praise the Lord. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Everybody say, resist him. Yes. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Glory to God. You are to resist the devil. James 4, 7 and 8 says, therefore submit to God. We see that again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, we see that. Amen? Yeah. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God. What is that? It's find out what God is saying. Find out what he wants for you. Find out what he has for you. Find out what his plan is. Get in God's plan and you won't be all wrapped up in your plan. The reason that people keep their cares because they don't ever cast it. And when they don't cast it, they don't get into God's plan. They don't submit themselves to him. You can say, I've submitted myself to God. But if you haven't, you haven't if you are carrying the same thoughts and the same things that you always are carrying. It's not for you to do. It's not for you to carry. It's not for you to take. You're like that trailer that's being overloaded. It's not meant for you to take. He said, cast all of it. All of it. All of it. You don't take any of it. Well, Pastor Jeff, how are we going to pay this bill at the church? I don't know. It's not my church. I'll just tell you this. If God don't pay it, if it doesn't get paid, and it closes the church down, that's not my problem. It's not my fault. Why? Because I preach the word. It's on God. Praise the Lord. We can't take these cares. I can't carry all the care of every single person that comes. If I carry the care of every person that came up to me and told me about and I took the destruction that's happening in their life and I carried that, there's many pastors that do that. That's why I won't do it, because I've been taught better than that. I won't carry somebody's care. I will instruct people. I will show people. I'll walk with people, but I won't carry their care. Why? Because I don't care about it. I don't care. Yeah. Why would I care about it? God told you not to care about it, but you want me to care about it? Yeah. I'm not going to care about it because it's not mine. Amen. I care about people. I don't care about their cares. Why? Because God he's offered to take everybody's cares. God, there's no person that God said, I won't take your care. No person. So don't try to give it to me. I don't want it. Don't give it to your neighbor. They don't want it. They don't need it. Don't give it to your spouse. They don't need it. Give it to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Praise the Lord. Humbling yourself and submission to God are the exact same thing. We need to get to that place where we are humble, we humble ourselves, where we submit to God's will, where we realize that the cares of the world aren't ours, the cares of this life, they're not ours. The only thing that we're supposed to care about is his plan and his will. Praise the Lord. You are taking on your own burden by not submitting yourself to his plan. You are making the devil's job easy. These are just some things that came to me this afternoon as I was doing this. The ultimate in pride is insisting on your way. People do this in the church all the time. They want things their way. I don't even have church. Listen, if I wanted to build this church my way, it wouldn't be built like this. I'm just telling you that right now. That's why it's so frustrating when people come up to you and they want to rail you for the way the church is being built. I am not building the way that I want to build. I am not doing things here the way that I want to do them. I am not having the type of services that I want to have. I'm seeking God for all that. That's why it's so frustrating when people come up to you and they rail you because of what you're doing. It's like, seriously, have you not listened to anything I preached? I don't know what you think about God, but I know this, that I don't think that God isn't real. And I don't think that I don't have any interaction with God. Otherwise, I wouldn't be pastoring. I would be out there making art or something like that, because this is because God is real. Amen. The fact that I'm doing this, amen. It's so amazing to me that people are like, no, we seek the Lord. This is why churches cannot be run by committees. Because committees were never meant to run churches. God never had everybody throw in their 2 cents and decide what's going to happen. No, he gave direction to a leader and he said, you lead the people in this thing. And then he told the people, follow it. And if they don't, well, then there's trouble. We don't lead by committees. I don't even hire people based on, we don't really hire many. We've had 2 people on staff. We have Chris was first, and now we have, she didn't get fired, praise the Lord. But now we have Rachel. But we don't even do that just because we want to or because it's our idea, praise the Lord. I'd love to have a full-time staff, amen? But we don't have that right now, hallelujah, glory to God. Well, kind of, but not really. Praise the Lord. The ultimate in pride is insisting on your way. We don't even insist on our ways in the church. This is why people ask me, well, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? No, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I don't even preach a message I want to preach. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't even preach a message. The reason many people aren't healed is because they insist on their way. Listen to this. Their way is, I don't feel it, therefore I must not be it. Your way is feeling. Listen to what I'm saying. The reason many people aren't healed or don't walk in healing is because their way is feel. I got to feel it. And unless I feel it, I must not be healed. But the scripture doesn't say that. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. Yeah. It already happened. Yeah. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word and healed them already. Yeah. I'm preaching to the choir here too, amen. I'm preaching to myself. The other morning I woke up, and I know I'm taking this a little bit long, but I don't really care because there's stuff we got to get into. Amen. I woke up the other morning, the Lord said, why don't you live in healing? Why don't you live in healing? He was saying something to me, and then I realized, and there's a lot more instruction for me in that. But listen, this is where we have to live. The reason people aren't healed is because they insist on it their way. What's their way? Their way is, I'm healed when I feel it. I'm healed when it looks like I'm healed. See, that's not faith. Faith is, I'm healed because God said I'm healed. I'm already healed. I'm already healed in the future. I'm healed in the past. I'm healed forever. Glory to God. Because that's the way that it is. But that's what faith is. Amen. Praise the Lord. The same thing with prosperity. It's the same thing that works with prosperity. People don't see themselves. They don't feel rich, so I must not be rich. I don't feel like I have enough, so I must not have enough. God said, I'll supply all your needs. Well, either you will or you won't. And then you have to ask yourself, either you trust him or you don't. Because that's what it comes down to. He said, I will supply all your needs according to his riches, not according to yours. But see, you want yours to line up. You want yours to look a certain way. See what I mean? The reason people aren't healed, or the reason people aren't prosperous, or the reason people aren't in peace is because they want it their way. They need to feel something. They need to, this is why people are falling out of love all the time, because they don't feel it. Well, there's nothing about love in the Bible that tells you to feel it. But there's everything that talks about you walking in it. You know, submission to God? Well, I don't feel submitted to God. Well, you submit to him. You just do it. How do you do it? Every single time you're not, you decide to be submitted. Every single time, amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew, I'm just going to go here real quick. Matthew 11:27. Praise God. The reason people aren't free is because they haven't chosen to be free yet. Jesus said that if you abide in my word, you will be free. Not like you will be in the future. He said, if you abide in my word, that's when you are free. You are free when you are abiding in the word, when you're living the word of God, not when you're living your plan, when you're living what the word says. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. This is Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except for the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus does will to reveal him, and he will, but you have to get in his plan. You have to be seeking him. Yeah. Come to me. And that's exactly what he says here. He says, except for the one who the Son wills to reveal him. And then what does he say? Come to me. He didn't say go to the Father, did he? He said, come to me. Who? Jesus. Yeah. He will reveal the Father to us if we're following Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is his direction. See, all those things you're doing them because you wanted to do them. Yeah. All those things that are burdening you down, I don't care what it is. You made the decision. If you made the decision apart from the word of God or if apart from the direction of God, if you made that decision, you are burdening yourself. It isn't God. He hasn't put it on you. I have had people come up to me and they've done one dumb thing after another. And then they said to me, well, God won't put any more on you than you can handle. But God didn't put any of that on you. You put a lot on you that you can't handle. And if you keep walking under it, it'll crush you. The problem is you haven't put his yoke upon you. How do you do that? You turn to Jesus. Part of turning to Jesus is looking at the Lord and saying, Lord, I realize that I'm not my own anymore. I owe you a debt. Yes. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. So now I owe him with my life. Yeah. That's what being a Christian is that you recognize that you owe Jesus everything. That and this is why people, they're trying to live, Christians are trying to live life apart from the plan and the will of God. And how are they doing that? Well, I you don't understand, Pastor, I just got to pay these bills. Yeah. See, God, he'll tell you how to pay the bills. God didn't tell you to put 15 jobs on your plate. God didn't tell you to do this, do that. God didn't tell you to neglect your family. In fact, the Bible says if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel.
Right.
Yeah, it's just the truth, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to close with this. Galatians 5:1. Praise the Lord. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. God has not given us a spirit of fear. This is the liberty. It's not the spirit of fear. It's the spirit of God. If we follow the spirit of God, if we follow the word, if we follow his direction, if we follow where he's taking us, then there's liberty. But if we don't, if we return to those things, the way that we always did things, we are turning again to the yoke of bondage. And God can't take it off of you. He can't remove a yoke that you insist on keeping. And he won't remove it. If you insist on keeping the yoke, then you are going to stay in bondage your entire life. God has given us the way to freedom. He has given us the path to freedom. The first and foremost is being connected to the plan and the will of God, which includes your local church and your pastor. If you are not planted in the house of the Lord, you will not flourish. It cannot happen. Many Christians try it. And they all fail trying to do it because it cannot happen. The local church is where God is moving. The local church is where God is doing things. You want God to move in your life? Connect to that. Connect to all that that is. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you will see the change in your life and others' lives. Amen?